interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind a woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 667. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind a woodshed. And this is still donation season. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and donations are needed. You know, we're going to, I think Sound was telling me there's a final touches on some of the equipment that we need to keep us in the future, in particular with all these memory prices going up and trying to keep the deals available. And so there's also been some updates onto the website just recently here. And so it's happening slowly. If you haven't noticed, I would hope you have, and tell people that we're around. And if you have a content you want to donate and some time to do that, ask Sound to create a slot for you and step into being a broadcaster. And if you really want to help out, maybe dump a bunch of coffee on the crew so they can work through the night. Again, this thing turns out to almost be like a 24-hour operation going and trying to take, as I think Sound said, put a tan on the white elephant and give it a place and give it some legs to walk a little bit. Something that Grimner started. In fact, I think he liked having it be the white elephant, but as time has been going on, it becomes unruly, and we can tame it a bit, and it can carry a lot of weight, I think, if we get that thing worked out, and all that is participation. So if you can, find the donate buttons on the reallibertymedia.com website or anywhere you might find them, or the links that get there, and do what you can. Appreciate that. Like I said, content providers can do a lot, too. That's part of the whole point about doing this, is giving the information that we understand to others that may not, or develop nuances for all that. And my point for all that is to learn enough, and then you start to parse what's really important and what isn't, and where you need to stand to stay away from the train coming down, barreling down the tracks on you, if you can. And it gets harder and harder as they start folding this thing in on us. And that's another one of the problems, the reason why the work being done at RLM is to segregate it from the internet that is so controlled. Hopefully that'll work out in the near future as we move this along. So one of the things that we have to stay away from is the pirates. That's going to be harder and harder as well. But from we are Pirates Department, and apparently piracy is good business. The last I checked, it's one of the most serious crimes. And I didn't hear that any letter of marque or reprisal has issued pursuant to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, which grants Congress the power to issue those letters. So yeah, no, Trump, not just like we are pirates, but globally, not just in the Caribbean, right, Jack Sparrow? Trump likens American forces seizing Iranian ships to pirates. United States President's approval rating has sunk to record lows, while oil prices have peaked at over $120. U.S. President Donald Trump has joked, so-called, that American forces are behaving like pirates, as he boasted about the capture of tankers and the cargo ships attempting to breach the blockade of Iranian ports. And let me just offer, if we don't get to it completely, and we probably won't get deep into it more, the nations of the world are not taking kindly to that comment. And when you, as I said, when you start talking like this as the leader of a country, well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. These are not the things that you joke about. But they are driving a wedge, and I think it's part of a planned wedge. So while I would say that Trump is doing it wrong, and I say that only relative to his pledges and the campaign, hoping all those would have been handled. Those would have been done, he'd be a hero, I think, even beyond what I would have thought to give him. But he's not, because he went down the wrong path, and he listened to a bunch of people that shouldn't be in his administration. And yet he's going to sell it because that's just what he does. But yeah, no, this is not really, like I said, a ha-ha laughing matter. This situation's not a joke. And remember, it's being done for the non-Jewish genocidal Zionist regime unlawfully occupying Palestine. The U.S. has admittedly no interest in attacking Iran as well. And you start adding these up and you start finding literal war crimes as defined. Even though Trump doesn't believe in international law, others do. And that's why I say for you, find the law, hold on to it. That if it's a good law, hold on to it. I find the land laws of the United States, disposal laws, to be very good. It makes this difference between us and the rest of the world. And our government does not recognize those, does not honor those. And so that's where we need to be standing. It's the toughest fight, and it's the one that no one wants to understand or agree with, in particular where you have that position, and certainly the criminal's not going to give it to you. People become pirates, and this is what about the law is. When you abandon law, you're just saying you're just nothing but a pirate. You don't have any scruples to not offend somebody or violate somebody or trespass upon somebody, and for no reason other than, oh, it's fun. So he's saying that there's supposed to be an interest, but it's not the interest of Iran, it's the interest of the Zionist regime over there in Palestine. But it's not him that paid. You're going to pay for the privilege of those having Trump's nicked ear better than we, the people of law, right, Satan Yehu? Oil prices surged past $120 a barrel this week for the first time since 2022, while Trump's approval rating fell to 34%, a record low in the Reuters Ipsos poll. Speaking at a forum club at the Palm Beaches dinner in Florida on Friday, Trump recalled how a destroyer fired at the Iranian-flagged cargo vessel Tuska near the Strait of Hormuz on April 19th before it was boarded by U.S. Marines. Quote, "We took over the ship. We took over the cargo. Took over the oil. It's a very profitable business. Who would have thought we were doing that? We're like pirates. We're sort of like pirates," Trump said, prompting laughter in the audience. Yeah, laugh, traitors. Only pirates would have thought law and your oath of office means nothing. Agreeing to such barbarism is really unacceptable in the world, don't you think? Well, he wouldn't think so. He'd think this is business. Iran has condemned the seizure as illegal, with government sources telling Press TV this week that the U.S., quote, "piracy and banditry," close quote, would be met with an unprecedented, quote, "unprecedented," close quote, response. And so remember this as we're hearing the United States is saying, oh, we are responding to an attack from Iran. No, it starts here with the United States attacking commercial vessels under a blockade over a blockade over a blockade, which is nothing. It's just a big mess, and it's made to be a big mess. And part of me, as I said, looks like Trump's doing wrong, but I also know there's a future that needs this control and this balancing, this equity between all the nations. And so it's working toward that end, which means that Trump is not America first, and it has nothing to do with Israel in this case. So go study for yourself to find out the objective foundations in the law to apply to what I believe are abhorrent U.S. actions as we move forward. And if you studied, I think you also come to the conclusion as to what the wanton criminal, this high seas Mar-a-Lago Mahler, is showing himself to be under cover of the office of the President of the United States. He isn't constitutionally authorized to go down this path, and he hasn't even tried to explain any lawful authority because whatever it takes, even lawlessness, while insisting on your compliance of essentially non-existent law. What an international disgrace and embarrassment to we the people, since he's representing us. What a travesty to the republic we the people are to keep. And no aspirant of ordinary prudence and assessment could really accept this, let alone laugh about it. So laugh, you traitors, laugh long and hard as this place is being altered. And from the Department of Only We, Not For Thee, speaking of pirates, a professor is noticing the billionaire boys' organized plunder. If you hadn't heard, did you notice? Very well organized business. It's a very well organized business, maybe a very well-oiled organized business as well. Expert on Iranian war oil bets. Bets passed on alleged leaks from U.S. officials to their, quote, friends, close quote, are part of a pattern, a California professor has told RT. A reported $125 million dollars pocketed by an oil trader from a perfectly timed Iranian-linked bet is, quote, only the tip of the iceberg, close quote, in what appears to be a pattern of insider trading tied to key developments during the Iran war, Professor Jack Rasmus has told RT. Dumped profits while you're dumped at the pump. Right, Trump? roughly 10,000 contracts worth of estimated $920 million, Mike dollars, were reportedly opened on Wednesday, less than an hour before the media report said Washington and Tehran were nearing an agreement, triggering a more than 12% drop in oil prices and an estimated nine-figure profit. Similar suspiciously well-timed bets have repeatedly coincided with major developments during the war in public statements by U.S. President Donald Trump, including on April 7th, when oil prices plunged after it announced a temporary ceasefire, the professor from St. Mary's College of California told RT on Friday. Trades are placed, quote, within minutes of Trump's announcements about Iran, he said, calling the pattern, quote, pretty constant. There's no other explanation, close quote, other than inside information. Quote, somebody in the government is telling their friends, close quote. Quote, every time Trump says something that sounds tough, the price of oil goes up, close quote, Rasmus said, adding that traders then made bets that generated an estimated $7 billion Bravo dollars in March and April alone in what he described as, quote, very well-organized, close quote, operation. Sounds like racketeering, doesn't it? Supposed to be a law. There ought to be a law, folks. Well, there is. But, again, we have to have enforcement and accountability. According to The Economist, commodity exchanges, including Chicago Mercantile Exchange and ICE, quote, know who this is, close quote, but will not announce findings because, quote, some people in government got their hands in this pie, close quote. He described the Trump administration as, quote, a big grift, close quote, and a, quote, historic grifting, close quote, extending beyond oil into crypto and other, quote, shady deals, close quote. So get rid of all my quotes. Just go ahead and get that link at the article, and you'll find that at the Blogcaster, and watch it and listen to it, and put two and two together for yourself. It's really hard not to miss, but again, is there going to be accountability? Well, apparently the administration has noticed and called on the foxes to watch the henhouse. DOJ probing $2.6 billion Bravo dollars in oil trades related to Iran war, sources say. Federal officials are probing at least four of these trades, sources said, these unnamed as they are. The Department of Justice is investigating a series of suspiciously timed trades in the oil market just ahead of major announcements by President Donald Trump and a top Iranian official about the war in Iran. The DOJ, along with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, is probing at least four of these trades where traders made a total of more than $2.6 billion Bravo dollars betting is your market, folks, betting that oil prices would drop right before they did. The DOJ and the CFTC have not commented on the trades. ABC News obtained the data of the four trades from the London Stock Exchange Group. Everyone keep a track of how they're doing this, right? You can too. On March 23rd, 15 minutes before Trump announced that he would delay threatened attacks on Iran's power grid, traders bet more than $500 million, Mike dollars, that oil prices would fall. And no, that wasn't investment advice. But anyway, watch how they do this. As I've told you before, don't complain about how the corporates don't pay taxes. Go find out how they don't pay taxes. How they're not getting extorted like the common man on the street. On April 7th, hours ahead of a temporary ceasefire announced by Trump, traders bet $960 million, Mike dollars, that oil prices would fall. On April 17th, 20 minutes before Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, posted on social media saying that the Strait of Hormuz was open, traders bet $760 million, Mike dollars, that oil prices would fall. On April 21st, 15 minutes before Trump announced that he would extend the ceasefire, traders placed a series of bets worth $430 million, Mike dollars, that oil prices would fall. The series of oil trades was first reported by Reuters, and the data from LSEG does not indicate any identities behind these trades and does not prove individuals were trading based on insider information. This is a developing story. But will loose lips sink ships of state? Have you seen all the Epstein didn't kill himself files? Will the chosen sacrifice a scapegoat? As the report concludes, This is a developing story. Stay tuned. Behind the Woodshed. And donate today. Donation season. Help the crew get this thing put together. And again, I'm really more intrigued with the content providers. I want to make sure we get some more content, get this network moving like it used to be. Kind of don't know what happened to all the hosts, but here we are. And so the clean slate, we can start all over it and go where you want. And I noticed that something came up. I don't know where it was. It was an advertisement, if you will, it might have been a statement coming out of the AI on the DuckDuckGo, the assistant. It said that we have a diverse content. And I thought that was good. I thought that was great because we've had all kinds of views come through RLM. And that's what I'd like to see. As long as it's, again, straightforward, who cares? I mean, if we got to have all the angles to see, you don't ever know. Maybe someone has stuff the way they see it that maybe you didn't quite think about. So for me, it's just trying to get us into an idea that we're not helpless and we look deep enough when something comes against us or we see something coming, we can prepare. Like maybe this Hunta virus. I'm not even getting into that. It's not even like the great Kobe swindle. They may make it like that. You see the WHO stepping in. They're making big noise about blaming the United States from past things. But just watch how, if you look very carefully, it's already proven that this is not an issue, but they're making an issue. And so we can get lost in that, or we can start focusing on what's important, and even more so important, what's important for us. And I know I talk about stuff a lot. I've mentioned this before. I talk about international things. Well, petroleum prices, it affects each one of us. What I'm saying is a lot of what's going out there, it actually is being focused inside. As I was able, and maybe one of the few, I think, I've been looking around. There's not many people seeing this. They'll mention that we're bringing in the pieces and parts, but not many people will show you how the onshoring that Trump is doing of the future that they want is going on right in front of your face. And so integrated. And that is affecting us at home. So what they're doing out there, what he denies out there, is a lie for us inside the gates, if you will. And it kind of moves on to this piracy that's going on, and it's right underneath his nose, whether he didn't have to even know about it. But once he hears about it, what's he do? He gets the DOJ, the Fox's Mark Garton, the hen house, instead of him understanding what's going on and start to stop it. And then along these lines, expanding the piratic fleet to attack even the bestest ally. New KC-46 supertankers promise Israel conventional Samson option strike capability. You've heard me mention this, and I said it was on the tap, and there we are. Samson option right back here. And Trump and the United States and government is going to go ahead and give the Zionist regime the capacity to fly about everywhere in the world. And these airplanes are pretty fascinating. They're pretty capable on their own. And so we pay very close attention to the match that the United States is handing an arsonist. So now we'll wait for the punchline near the end. Oh, the bestest ally, the first of six customized Boeing KC-46 Gideon tankers has completed its maiden flight in the U.S. and will be delivered to Israel in about a month's time, the Israeli defense minister has announced. So those of you having calendars, put that down, and let's start looking at that, too, down the road. A twin-engined next-gen stealth tanker aircraft feature standard 767 airframe married to new tech, remote vision, fly-by-wire refueling boom, anti-jamming and secure data links, the ability to refuel multiple jets, including F-35Is. That's the ones that's the F-35s that Israel takes and modifies for their own. And all that can be done simultaneously. One tanker can support up to a dozen combat aircraft. KC-46 can be customized for refueler, cargo, and passenger roles. So add this to the list. Those of you that watch 911 and aircraft in buildings, and they have a standard range of 11.8 thousand kilometers and a 29.5 thousand kilogram cargo or a 96.3 thousand kilogram fuel payload. They can also tap into their own fuel cargo, effectively giving them a global range. So daisy chain these airplanes and think about that, how that would work and how far they can get fuel to some place they need it. Again, one of the first starting now. J Post says the planes will be a game changer in providing Israel much greater independence to target Iran, Yemen, quote, and any other potential distant adversaries in the future, even if some later U.S. administration may oppose such a strike, close quote. And I'll add, maybe the United States itself, right? That becomes that adversary. What do you mean you don't want to do what I want? But here's the punchline that makes the Zionista criminal organization all giddy for their Gideon. The planes can also provide Israel with something equivalent to a conventional Samson option, a non-nuclear variant of a scary scenario where the IDF lashes out at enemies and allies alike if its home defenses are overrun. Now, they're saying non-nuclear. What keeps it from being nuclear? Anything? Really? Anything? Does anybody know about aircraft that would say that that can't be converted if you got the bomb or 200 to 400 of them? But lash out, folks. Lash out at allies. Not a good measure, lashing out, but consistent with desperation and lashing out, even at the bestest ally, the United States, as a blackmail threat or for false light. All paid for by the unchosen, dirty American people the Zionista political movement would murder. And they'll do it, too. Remember, if we are to believe Josephus, the siege at Masada, not all perished. There was a few zealots that escaped to apparently try that again. If we give the likes of Satan Yehu Milikowski and his horde of savages the benefit of claiming he is other than of Polish origins by way of New York, otherwise he's a freelance zealot that has adopted the siege of Masada mentality and renamed the Samson option that the Zionista Federation movement will use when lashing out at their bestest ally. Now, why would Trump allow Israel to do that if he actually intended to make America great again? But no, Trump, being an Israeli firster, there's more Americans will pay dearly for. Separately this week, Israel approved the purchase of an additional F-35s. How is the price of your food, folks? And your gas, and your energy, and your housing? Separately this week, Israel approved the purchase of additional F-35s and F-15s to double existing stockpiles from 550 to 100, 50 to 100, and 25 to 50, respectively. So, would it be fair to conclude the Zionist Organized Crime Syndicate are planning on two F-35 nuclear attack waves using a daisy-chained KC-46 supertankers to expend a minimum of 200 nuclear bombs they possess when the Samson option is triggered within the United States or as a false flag or globally? It's only two sorties on each one that they're going to get here. So how do we know that's not going to happen? As the Israelis tell us repeatedly how much they think about the vast number of Americans. IDF, in new Virgin Mary statue scandal, if you didn't hear about the recent first one, let alone all the other things that they've been destroying. Now it's a new one. Now these little statues are being taken out. The desecration of southern Lebanon follows earlier incidents in which Israeli troops are accused of damaging Christian sites. A photograph appearing to show an Israeli soldier placing a cigarette in the mouth of a statue of the Virgin Mary in southern Lebanon has sparked an outrage online. The image, which surfaced on Wednesday, was reportedly taken in the predominantly Christian village of Debil, near the border with Israel, and up. Okay, so we've got a war crime going on right there. I do crossing the border to do that on top of it, and then destroying a religious artifact, another war crime. But who cares? No international law. And uploaded to social media by IDF soldiers. In the statement to RT, the IDF said it views the incident, quote, with utmost severity, close quote, and that the soldiers' contact, quote, completely deviates, close quote, from its values. The IDF added that the photo was taken several weeks ago and that, quote, command measures, close quote, will follow a formal probe, stressing that it respects all holy sites and religious symbols. I mean, I just want to choke right here. Is that true? I don't think so. Certainly not recently. However, this is what they say. Command measures. Weeks ago, the guy said, he's still going to have command measures weeks ago. No. It is the latest in a series of actions widely seen as showing disregard for Lebanon's Christian community, but these are statues and symbols of the religion itself. So don't lose that sight, because it's over there that they don't hate you over here. The very same. In April, video from the same village showed an Israeli soldier smashing a statue of Jesus Christ in the face with a large mallet during the ongoing ground operations in southern Lebanon. And I may add, I may not even agree with this symbology, to tell you the truth, as I think through all this as well as I'm reading it. I'm just saying there's people out there that do not care about other people, and they're willing to destroy the evidence of their cultures. They're willing to destroy and obliterate civilizations. And Trump, they've got Trump's Nick Deer. The crucifix was later photographed with its face destroyed alongside the biblical quote, quote, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," close quote, posted on the town's official page. The IDF later confirmed that the two soldiers had been withdrawn from combat duty and jailed for 30 days after footage of the vandalism went viral. Christian communities have reported a string of incidents at religious sites in recent years involving Israeli forces. So I guess these are the only two soldiers that were accountable for those 30 days. In 2030, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza hit a building next to the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Porphyrius, the enclave's oldest Christian shrine, killing at least 18 people. In 2025, shrapnel from an Israeli tank shell damaged Gaza's Holy Family Church, the territory's only Catholic parish, killing 3. Last month, a Catholic nun was assaulted in broad daylight in Jerusalem in what church officials described as part of a pattern of harassment against Christians in the Holy Land. This is very soft stories here. There's a whole lot worse that you will find if you look around. Lebanese authorities say that more than 2,700 people have been killed and around 1.2 million people displaced since March the 2nd. When Israel launched combat operations in Lebanon, where Hezbollah is based, amid the wider U.S.-Israeli war against Iran. Despite a U.S.-mediated ceasefire, despite a U.S.-mediated ceasefire that began on April 16th and was later extended until mid-May, Israeli troops have continued military operations of the Litani River, expanding a buffer zone that stretches around 10 kilometers into Lebanon. So this doesn't sound like a cessation of hostilities at all. Israel doesn't care. They wouldn't have to have a rule against such problems if they didn't ingrain that in their people in the first place. And if it wasn't something, they wouldn't even waste their time with the statue, would they? But they do. So it is something. And I don't trust that there's any kind of accountability or lessons learned, or more importantly here, what does this lead to? Just respect for people. Just respect for people. They have none. And to evidence the Zionist political party movement, called the State of Israel, is not a religious organization, but a terrorist crime syndicate using the Jews, so-called, for convenience, while it attacks Iran, a country with a sizable number of synagogues, about 31 in Tehran alone, the majority of the Jews, so-called, of which are Persian-speaking, having no intention to change or move from Iran, Iranians move tons of bricks by hand to recover Torah scrolls, says a Jewish community member. Rajan Yeshayahi has described the aftermath of an Israeli airstrike that damaged Tehran synagogue. Iranian rescue workers dug through debris by hand to recover religious artifacts from a Tehran synagogue damaged by the Israeli strike last month. Marjan Yeshayahi, a member of the local Jewish community, has told RT. In an exclusive interview broadcast on Monday, she described her dismay at seeing the site reduced to ruins with Holy Torah scrolls buried under the rubble. She said she had asked the rescue workers not to use machinery in order to preserve the scriptures. Quote, "When I made the request, I did not believe they would accept it, but instead they said, okay, we will remove it manually. And they did. Each brick was removed by hand, and the scrolls completely moved to safety and were handed over to the Jewish Association. Now, I'm not sure entirely why, when you look at what's, at least from the biblical standpoint, about these Torah scrolls and what the Torah scrolls, because these people are chosen in particular to get over themselves, firstly, then to abandon their past indiscretions and choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. That faith in Jesus is essential for eternal life, as you read in John 14:6, thereby removing themselves from the synagogue of Satan. Right, Satan, Yehu Milikowski? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, who praise is not of men, but of God. As we'll read in Romans 28:29, I brought this up before. It's pretty lifted a big weight off of me about what this Jew, and I say Jew so-called, because when you read this, you realize that no man, no woman, or Zionist is authorized to declare a Jew, which power is left to God. And despite the Torah being a representing a fixation intending to keep the past harms and synagogue of Satan alive, but hearing the Torah scrolls being saved by hand makes my heart feel good, nevertheless. Just reading that after the request, each brick was removed by hand, is such an innate respect for another belief, even one at odds with their own, assuming the request was made to non-Jew rescuers, or why the need to make the request at all. The Jewish so-called community would be saving it on its own, as it intentionally discriminates itself to do in the West. According to Yeshayahu, the Iranian state protects the rights of the Jewish minority. Is Satan Yehu listening to this? This hasn't even been a question behind the woodshed. I keep reading this stuff over years. Under the country's constitution, Jews are allowed to practice their religion freely, including maintaining synagogues and holding services. Roughly 8,000 Jews live in Iran, and likely part of the original Semitic people far longer than the existence of the Zionista political state. And worship is done in dozens of synagogues. It's reportedly about 100 synagogues there. The Rafi Nia synagogue, located near Palestine Square in central Tehran, was heavily damaged when a nearby residential building was struck by Israeli jet fighters. So, again, now residential buildings being struck, no different than anywhere else they will be doing. The Israel Defense Forces, IDF, later acknowledged the strike, saying it had targeted a senior Iranian commander and expressed regret over, quote, collateral damage, close quote, to the synagogue, which is the words of international law, but if you look carefully and you're finding out, if you read carefully, they're claiming that they do this, but they're not actually. And which all constitutes more war crimes for anyone still keeping track of these important crimes against mankind being normalized. Yeshayahu said three of her friends died in the strike, describing her sadness and anger at the attack. Yes, more sadness at the hands of Zionist Samson option horde invader savages and the anti-Semitic IDF. Not rescuing the Torah, but burying it. And as to those oil prices, the consequence of chaos, lawlessness, the abandonment of peace, oil prices now determined by Trump's mood, Fitzo says. Crude prices have hit their highest levels since 2022, following reports that the U.S. president would be briefed on new Iran options. Global crude oil prices rise and fall depending on whether United States President Trump got enough sleep, Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fitzo has said in a sarcastic remark. His comment came after oil rose to a four-year high amid reports that the U.S. military would brief Trump on options related to the Iran conflict. On Friday, Brent jumped nearly 7% to over $126 per barrel before easing to $108 later in the season. The rally followed an Axios report that U.S. Central Command had prepared options for, quote, short and powerful, close quote, strike on Iran aimed at breaking stalled negotiations. Well, that's a negotiation engager, isn't it? Just beat them up. Quote, everything is under pressure, including oil prices, depending on how President Trump wakes up, close quote, Fitzo said on Friday, speaking with journalists in Bratislava. Quote, if he wakes up in a good mood, oil goes down. If he wakes up in a bad mood and makes some statement, oil automatically goes up, close quote, showing it isn't actual actually in a marketplace. Right? Again, it's a casino. But more, it's a speculators' and insiders' profiteers' paradise. Prices saw extreme volatility and a sharp surge after the U.S. and Israel launched a bombing campaign on Iran on February 28th. Iran responded by borrowing, quote, enemy ships, close quote, from the Strait of Hormuz, which handles about one-fifth of the global energy trade. In addition, Tehran conducted retaliatory strikes on the U.S. military bases in several countries across the Middle East. Okay, so let's go back to that. As a retaliation to what U.S. did, U.S. aggression did. And notice that and watch that. Watch for that. Prove that out. Are they responding or are they initiating? And even recently, there have been responding completely, where the United States says, oh, they attacked the ships, the United States military, and so we responded. No, the United States, they forgot to tell you that they went after, again, the oil tanker. I've got video now. They destroyed the navigation of two. And when they say navigate, they destroyed the navigation. This is not just walking in and pulling some wires. They take a missile and they blow the back end of the boat up and they get rid of the power plant and all the controls and the rudder and all that stuff from inside. So this is a big destruction of these commercial vessels. And it's not that nothing happened. They're not supposed to attack that. Again, more war crimes. But who cares, right? Who cares? This is a big shakeup going on. And I see it's all focused on an end. And there's adjustments going on. As I said, the parity-making condition that they had to do and go through. And Trump's right in on it. Not for America. This doesn't make America great again. If they did, they would have, again, honest money. You wouldn't be having these situations going on the way they are. Your lives wouldn't be parasitically sucked away by the vampire squid or the Federal Reserve or any of those things. Gas prices have also surged amid concerns over disruptions in global energy supply chains. Here, again, read this amid concerns, not actual things going on. Not saying that there's not problems, but this is a concern. This is the volatility that the profiteers, the insiders, work on. But the volatility spreading across European and Asian markets, broader financial markets saw sharp swings due to the escalation risk. Analysts have noted that the global markets remain highly sensitive to political signals and policy decisions by the Trump administration. Bitso also recalled U.S. interventions in Iraq and Venezuela and expressed a concern about possible aggression toward Cuba, as well as Trump's unresolved claims on Greenland and where Washington could, quote, continue to assert its interests, close quote. But as I read in a past episode behind the woodshed, the existing interests of the United States in Greenland is an obligation to protect it and to continue to honor Danish sovereignty and rule of Greenland, not to threaten it. And the U.S. did that for the valuable consideration it paid for the Danish West Indies, renamed the U.S. Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, of all things, pure, which the Epstein eventually soils and deflowers and consumes, while the U.S. government watched, which past and current members participated, not all, some, but who knows. And Trump was in the mood for that, too, I suspect. But what about your mood? Are you in the mood? Apparently not. U.S. facing historic low birth rates, CDC data shows fertility has fallen below even Depression-era levels, raising fresh concerns about family stability and long-term decline. Let's say fresh again. It's been a concern, a long-time concern, and it's now pretty close to inescapable. Again, the population not replacing itself, and why you see the future that they want. You have the migration going on in other countries. Again, the parity wasn't just for economies; it was for peoples. The melting pot going global, essentially. According to the vital statistics data published in April, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the birth rate in the United States has reached new record low. And I would say this is going to be a progress report again. In 2025, there were 53.1 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age, 15 to 44, in the U.S., 1.3% lower than in 2024 and 23% lower than in 2007. And again, not to diminish the problem, see that the number there was 15 to 44, that probably correlates with the legal age of consent as well in the United States, which is what I said with the Epstein girls. A lot of those may have been exploited because of that. And that's going to make it trouble for them at one level, but we're seeing there's no impetus to make justice and accountability anyway. And going immediately to the end of the article, and then we'll roll back up the punchline that should have the cattle chattel human resources rolling in the pasture with laughter. As a result, the great Western powers did not even make the top 20 in the SWI rankings. France ranked 29th, Germany 41st, the U.S. 48th, and the U.K. 53rd. So you don't get the credit anyway for the creation miracle. The government, Western power of the undead, gets all the credit. If and you thought you had any more importance than a small bag of tater chips to the accountants of your slave masters on this planetation. Kind of alien sounding, isn't it? There's disclosure, I hear. Now, scrolling back up to where I left off before our little comedic excursion, the decline in birth rates reflects the impact of decades of social change that have undermined the institution of the American family. But it's actually the institutions of the undead government failing to keep its trust duties. Does not improve health outcomes, economic prosperity, and a sense of security, which undermines the family, isn't it? Institutions and corporations that look out for themselves, all ethically acceptable. Insurance corporations working with corrupt lawyers and medical professionals to deprive work-disabled people of the care they need, overseen and agreed to by government agencies. The failures of government institutions would fairly describe why I didn't start a family, especially with no way around the other institutions of corruption that stands in the way, if one could see their way clear. Today, the total number of births per year is far lower than in earlier periods when the U.S. population was much smaller. For example, in 1961, 4.3 million children were born when the U.S. population stood at 184 million. In 2025, only 3.6 million children were born across the entire country, even though the population now stands at 342 million. The current birth rates are even lower than during the Great Depression, when births fell to 75.8 births per 1,000 women in 1936. The fundamental decline in fertility in American society began in the 1960s, following the sexual revolution. In the 1990s and early 2000s, when the U.S. reached the peak of its geopolitical power, the country experienced some growth in birth rates. What an ominous statement, right? The United States reached its peak geopolitical power. Then, not now. But from 2006 onward, a new wave of decline began, one that is now unfolding in parallel with a rapid drop in the share of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, or they call them WASDs, WASPs, in the U.S. population. Why is this happening? An answer can be found in RT's global survey, the Social Well-Being Index, SWI. While the West compares who has more money and greater consumption opportunities, we measure what truly matters for the survival and flourishing of nations, the ability to produce life, birth rates, and preservation of life, infant mortality, longevity, homicide mortality, and the minimization of oppression, parenthetically the level of inequality between rich and poor, and children's education. And understand what they just said there. As I've been saying, the parity is on, and they're going to bring equality between rich and poor countries. And everyone's going to have the same or similar standard and go into a similar and same financial, probably digital system. I can't see it escaping the digital construct. So I'm not sure if it has anything to do between rich versus poor when looking into the future and seeing there isn't even the basic governmental trust duties being met to allow even peace of mind, the land of abundance here in the United States. We're so, yeah, right. Not in this guy's future, as my current situation attests, dealing with people here that would decide to act like stupid animals rather than simply helping to sell the gold mining claim as agreed and solve the problem they caused and continue. Just like Trump pointing the finger at someone, calling them names, then criminally abusing them. When having the moment to look at the condition, which I did when I permanently injured myself, not swept up in the concocted norms of the day that we are told to follow, like blindly starting a family. How does anyone feel comfortable bringing someone else into the world is answered by the lack of population seen today. So I guess I wasn't the only one noticing in the day. And there's a further analysis, the precipitous fall of the population evidencing trust duty breach. I don't think it's a far reach to assert the government has no expectation from any duties that citizens so-called owe to the government that failed to secure the society in which he or she lives. The false flag threat to America by Israel being yet another failure in stopping the political fraud. To threaten us at home and prior to the imaginary sandaled caveman in a land far, far away, because to set the population into ongoing fear, intimidation, or dread defines terrorism, the antithesis of government fulfilling its responsibilities to the security of its citizens, so-called, and thereby negating any expectation of allegiance, the very will of the people authorizing the government. And then haven't I just defined what happened in the post-founding father Lincolnized national security emergency era breach of government responsibility through and after the PATRIOT Act and its progeny declaring the homegrown extremist terrorists are presumed criminals. The U.S. government declaring war on we the people, those without any allegiance to the government, that breached its trust duties to us long ago. Right, Dr. Francis? You knows them when you sees them, Lieber. And did you notice? And for those who may have been in the mood that developed into that precious miracle they at least start out as, State Department forcing U.S. citizenship on children of Russian diplomats. Washington is violating both its own laws and international norms, the Russian Foreign Minister spokesman Zakharova says. The U.S. State Department is flouting both U.S. federal law and diplomatic immunity, enforcing American citizenship on children of Russian consular staff with no option given to refuse, Russian foreign spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said in an op-ed on Monday. These moves by the, quote, deep state, close quote, are undermining U.S. President Donald Trump's unprecedented anti-immigration policy and his aim of ending birthright citizenship in the country, she said. Quote, it's absurd and violates every rule in the book and delivers a blow to their own president, close quote, Zakharova wrote. The U.S. began the practice in 2023 under former President Joe Biden, quote, as if deliberately laying a mine under Trump in order to present him with the most ridiculous light, close quote, she said, adding that neither federal law or diplomatic agreements have been amended since. Currently, children born of, quote, foreign diplomatic officers, close quote, are exempted from U.S. birthright citizenship under the Code of Federal Regulations and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services policy, although they are considered lawful permanent residents. Coercive naturalization also violates Russian-U.S. agreements and international norms, which grant diplomats immunity from the laws of the host country, the spokeswoman said. Zakharova also warned that the situation gives Washington potential leverage over Russian diplomats. Moscow banned LGBTQ-related content in 2022, years after passing laws protecting minors from, quote, LGBTQ propaganda, close quote. In 2024, Russia also banned the adoption of children by countries that allow gender reassignment surgeries and procedures. And speaking of alienizing aliens, U.S. pastors briefed to brace congregations for UFO revelations. Tennessee evangelist Perry Stone claims new government documents slated for release could upend the Christian faith. Now, why would it upend a Christian faith? And then only upon a narrow spectrum of interpretation gave the masses. No mention of reported governmental or intelligence agency operative infiltrations of the church in the 90s. No mention of interdimensionality, so-called, or of our own limited sensory view of this creation, or the need-to-know basis for why we are here. Which actually would explain a creation far more wondrous and awesome than anything science so-called or man's perception allows, especially for those that do not heed the command to not fear. Why would a more wondrous creation shake one's faith in our salvation through Jesus Christ. Isn't Christ now one of those aliens to those of the world? Isn't he? So why would a genuine pastor spread such trash? I already mentioned it, didn't I? It was considered a conspiracy theory in the late 80s or 90s, the subversion of the church. And I figured one way to separate the wheat from the chaff in this regard was to look at whether they maintained a 501c3 status or did they rely on the proper status that the government has no control over. And in any regard, where are the ICE agents, ICE agents, immigration agents, when you need them to deal with these aliens, protecting us from the alien to those of the world, Jesus Christ? But wait, that's exactly what... Oh, be afeared, folks. Be very afeared. And I don't touch on it much, and even though vocabulary fails to describe these things, why did I mention interdimensionality, so-called, or of our limited sensory view of this creation? In part because I have experienced on multiple occasions what I've seen and have to describe as shadow people, together with the fact that something outside the narrow spectrum of my retina would appear as a shadow against what I can see. I don't have a reason for why I was able to see them, but I did see them, and that they hang around a bit longer if you ignore them. And that became apparent when I noticed one staring at me, which I understand is an unusual thing to say, being they appear as shadows. They have no detail. But that was the creepiest cool part. Despite it having no detail, I knew it was observing me. It was on the very edge of the driveway over near here and about 30 feet away, watching as I moved to and from the garden. It stood there, at least until I took more than a glancing look, making it obvious by stopping and looking directly at it. It was motionless for an instant and then moved very, very quickly to the right and went right behind a tree. It was only about 3 feet away, and the trunk is only about 8 inches in diameter, so it's not a really giant tree. But moving very, very quickly, it didn't come out the other side. It just stopped. It looked like it just disappeared. It was gone. What was it? I don't know. Can you make me believe I didn't see them? Not a chance. There was one that was staring at me. There was lots of others that just passed through the area. Just passing through. Was it alien? To me, it was alien. And I sense they exist among us, whether or not my senses are adequate. But how does that affect my faith? Well, it doesn't. To my way of considering, I'm fortified by it, because it sure is cool what we might be shown when we see the full white light and can direct our discrimination of all fields that exists. Because in the beginning was the Word, and is quite the complex beginning the Word caused to be created, ultimately to be replaced with a place of eternal life and communion with God, the speaker of that humble beginning for us. Fascinating things that may be around there, but it's being diminished, I think, by this so-called disclosure hand-feeding us. And what about the demons in the machine to follow up from last episode? AI driving modern slave surge. Technology is enabling traffickers to identify, recruit, and control victims at scale, making exploitations harder to detect, a UK study warns. Again, remember, this is the same place in the UK, the least amount of population replacement going on. And don't miss the point that government is the largest criminal trafficker. If the king's cousin Trump's billionaire boys club administration hasn't caught your attention, artificial intelligence is helping criminals expand their entrapment of modern-day slaves across the UK, with traffickers increasingly using digital tools to identify and exploit victims, a new report has found. Criminal networks in the UK are seeking to enslave people through coercion, deception, or force, including forced labor, sexual exploitation, and human trafficking. The study commissioned by the UK Independent Anti-Slavery Commissioner has found. And the money quote, AI is enabling traffickers to identify, recruit, and control victims at scale, making exploitation more widespread and significantly harder to detect. Now, when you hear that, don't let the Epstein class limit this application to young girls or boys and their proclivities. Apply this generally, that AI is enabling traffickers to identify, recruit, and control victims at scale, making exploitation more widespread and significantly harder to detect. And in light of these threats, governments will use, and this study may have been encouraged to develop the reason to lock the internet down even further beyond saving the children. AI may eventually be limited to your masters as well, being the exploitation is already coming from the top of the stinking abyss. That would be the bottom, wouldn't it? And don't we already hear that there are government versions of AI not intended for we the people to use? Now, how does that work in a society of consent by the governed? It's evidence that you no longer live in the Republican form representative society of founding principles. And the report noted that the number of reported cases reached 23,411 in 2025, the highest on record, and marked a 22% annual increase, underscoring what officials described as a growing crisis. According to the study, AI-driven scams, deepfakes, and synthetic identities are being used to target vulnerable individuals, while new forms of digital labor exploitation are expanding the pool of victims. Again, don't limit this to the pools of victims for work, labor. This could be medical. This could be anything, actually, that they want to exploit people for. They put you into a need, and now they have you. These methods reportedly allowed traffickers, again, I think traffickers just change this for government, or third parties working for government. The methods reportedly allow traffickers to operate more efficiently and with greater anonymity. At the same time, economic pressures, including the rising cost of living, are increasing vulnerability, creating what the commissioner describes as a, quote, pipeline, close quote, of people at risk of exploitation. That's what I said, and I've been saying. Independent Anti-Slavery Commissioner Eleanor Lyons warned that without urgent action, modern slavery will become more complex, more hidden, and harder to combat. She called on the government. Here we go again, Fox Watch in a hen house, right? We call on the government to prioritize the issue, boost law enforcement resources, and raise public awareness. Well, when they boost it, it's going to be to do more trafficking, more exploitation. We already have the evidence before us. It's not this system. I think this is just coming out to admit it, so it's out in the air. So you'd kind of think if they're being working on something, it's already in you. It's in your society. It's what you're doing now. Remember that master-slave relationship in your job. Lyons stressed that the rapid evolution of technology means the threat is likely to continue growing. The growing use of chatbots has long fueled concerns among independent researchers and government agencies worldwide about AI-enabled crime. While most illegal activities have been linked to the digital sphere, including hacking, cyber attacks, fraud, and identity theft, chatbots have also increasingly been implicated in facilitating more serious and violent crimes. A recent joint investigation by CNN and the Center for Countering Digital Hate found that 8 out of 10 AI chatbots help simulate violent attack planning, including school shootings and attacks on public figures. Can you just hear some of the news that's come on just like that? It must come out of a chatbot that the government was using and unleashed on people. The next synagogue to go attack. To give the digital hate folks something to complain about against y'all, you anti-Semites. The research also found that most systems were willing to provide actionable guidance in violent scenarios to users posing as minors. And speaking of the government dictating what AI is right for you and what is good for me may not be good for thee, from the lips of the guy behind the woodshed to the ears of the occupation, fast as fast can be, White House weighs in on big shift on AI models. Trump considers mandating federal reviews before new ones are rolled out. Washington's thinking on artificial intelligence appears to be changing quickly. After years of championing a mostly hands-off strategy, the Trump administration is expected to require the new AI models undergo a federal safety review before they hit the market. The outlet sees the shift as a stark reversal, just like they did with crypto, remember? No, we don't know about all that. And all of a sudden, yeah, we're going to do it. I told you about how that was going to work, and there it was, just like this. Axios reports the planning is far along, adding that the Pentagon would lead the safety evaluations. The rethink follows the public anxiety over AI's impact and Anthropic's decision not to publicly release its Mythos system, which was to the Pentagon, unless they said don't attack people, you know, the innocent Americans and all. No, they wouldn't do that. A big stink happened, but which it warned could trigger a cybersecurity reckoning. An executive order under discussion would set up an AI working group of tech leaders and government officials to explore oversight options, including a safety vetting system similar to one Britain is building. The global order, folks. You see how this works? Some in the administration, again, remember, this is at the time that Vance is going over in England and Europe and Britain to tell them to stop your censorship. But the system works the same. It just keeps going. Keeps the future that they want being developed right under our nose. Some in the administration want government first looks at cutting-edge models without blocking their release, both to avert an AI-enabled cyber attack and to assess potential military uses. The administration briefed leaders from Anthropic, Google, and OpenAI last week. As recently as July, President Trump spoke of the AI industry and declared, "We can't stop it with foolish rules." And as we understand, they're going to stop it with foolish rules, right? Well, they're not. But anyway, it's not much different in a way. You can go to the patent office and they can confiscate your stuff. And there's thousands and thousands. I heard, I think, 8,000 now ideas, inventions that we the people don't get access to, but the government has. So you want to talk about how easy it would be to say what's alien and what's not, to promote a whole alien nature out of this world? But why would it defeat our faith? That's what they're almost counting on, right? This is BTWRLM 667. But there isn't a shift about the atmosphere and the government perception management, more about the demons in the ether. Though before we get too deep into this, I believe this document is the plan to whitewash the now admitted chemtrail phenomenon. That said, it does give us something to assess the government with in the open. United States Contrails Research Roadmap 2025 Executive Summary. United States government agencies have come together to advance the understanding of persistent contrails and their impacts to inform future decision-making. Current models indicate that persistent spreading contrail cirrus has a significant net warming impact on the global climate. However, the magnitude of this impact is uncertain. So as I said, they're going to continue the demon here. Listen very carefully how they're doing it in addressing these terms and how they are still imposing what Trump says is impossible, not going to happen. It's happening. That's what I want to bring up, talk about all this stuff. Again, they continue the theories underneath what the overthrow is about for the future that they want. Research is needed to improve scientific understanding, reduce process-level uncertainties, develop integrated decision support tools and mitigation strategies, and demonstrate and assess prediction and operational capabilities. Improved understanding will allow the United States to make informed decisions that will ensure U.S. competitiveness in the aerospace sector while managing the impacts of civil aviation in a cost-effective manner. And folks, if you've ever read these administrative rules and all this, you're reading a rule set. Every one of those things and lines is what they have to look for right now. And that's what they're speaking to. It's already built into the system. They're just talking to it right now. They're telling all the academics, we're moving now to don't worry about no climate change. We're moving to do it like this. And you read, that's exactly what they're looking for to do. It's the same standard that they invoke. They say we're going to be informed. That's almost a clue. That's the hint. We're informed. It's like consensus. Our long-term vision is to achieve effective routine, system-wide contrail management that incorporates climate impacts and economic trade-offs by 2050. This will require sustained investment in research and development activities and progress and subject to availability of appropriated funds. Through 2030, the research community must continue to evaluate and understand the potential contrail reduction benefits from low-emitting engine technologies and novel, sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, formulations. And if you didn't think sustainable development is in play, and if you don't put much on the existence of stakeholders or Genghis Khan and his horde knocking on your door asking for tea, this will inform policymakers and operators on how best to strategically deploy these measures across the fleet, as current research indicates that only a small percentage of flights cause the majority of contrail-induced warming. In addition, we must demonstrate technology and predictive tools that achieve an acceptable level of confidence for economic and operational trade-offs to be considered. By 2040, okay, did you hear the word balance there? That's what they're doing right there. And that's what's in your NEPA, balancing the needs of mankind for those of nature. By 2040, it is assumed that model fidelity and operational decision support tools have been demonstrated, validated, and are being used at some level to manage contrail cirrus climate impacts. The 2050 vision and interim goals require effective, complementary, and coordinated research efforts. This document identifies initial high-level goals and research needs in four research areas: atmospheric science, weather prediction, cruise emissions, and operational management. Collaboration between government agencies and the U.S. aviation industry will be critical in meeting these goals. So there's another task that they take in administration. You collaborate with the government. You don't coordinate. Talked about all this stuff. It's right here in this summary on what the future is. And it's not changing. Well, what Trump said is not happening. And climate change is going away. No, it's all being built in, and they're making excuses for something that doesn't exist. The U.S. government agencies contributing to this document include the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, and National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. Key stakeholders include research organizations, aircraft and engine manufacturers, airlines and operators, and associated customers and shareholders. But shareholders are not stakeholders, because stakeholders show up to scare the shareholders into compliance with their stalking horse demands. I've done a number of broadcasts on the stakeholder, stockholder, stalking horse subject matter. The next step will be to collaborate with key stakeholders to further develop our vision and refine these initial research roadmap. This document will be updated regularly as the research progresses. So make sense of this from the body of the report for me. It is understood that persistent spreading contrail cirrus, parenthetically hereinafter referred to as contrail cirrus, has a net warming impact on the climate. However, more research is needed to fully understand these impacts and develop mitigation tools and strategies. Then, why are they allowing Bill Gates, or anybody else for that matter, to spray anything into the atmosphere where the claim is that these aerosols have a net warming effect, and absent an actual understanding about the atmosphere and based in fabricated models, you'll also find admitted? Government engineered chaos, maybe? Remember that non-governmental collaborators don't have an actual say in what's approved, and then only by the lead government agency for all the so-called stakeholders they're talking about. And then, how do they reconcile NASA, they found carbon dioxide is a temperature mitigator? And if they don't know, what's any of this definitively doing to advance a legitimate knowledge, or why continue to promote global warming and climate change? Like climate change is about the weather when it's not. And being, by valid definition, contrails are short-lived clouds, such that persistent clouds can't be considered contrails, because these types are long-lived clouds, not short-lived clouds. Why do they still try to commingle when purposely atmospherically injected persistent aerosolized neurotoxins and other pollutants are not contrails? You know, all these phrases you'll see built into this document as I'm reading them through. I'm not making anything up here. I'm just asking the statements that they're putting inside that they don't know they say. And as you heard, where they don't have the models and they want to validate the models, what have they been talking? What have they been? What was the basis for all this? These things for all these years? But in any regard, let them do all the studies. FAA, now do the chemtrails. And an interesting story making the rounds, potentially touching military weather manipulation. And before I get to this, I don't get weirded out about the topic of governmental weather modification or manipulation. I've done a couple of broadcasts on this topic, not full broadcasts, the topic when a subject matter come across, I discussed it. If memory serves, it was around the middle, generally the middle 1800s when this weather modification happened. That was governmental agreed to. You find that in the statutes if you look around. Indigenous people may have been doing it longer. In this regard, it's quite amazing how little it takes to, let's say, steer a tornado or hurricane or a himicane if you're needy. The startling factor to me is the scale of the manipulation. What's interesting to me is all the different weather modification techniques, not that it's being done. That's way old news. We may have inadvertently found another technique being used, not necessarily unknown, but the discovered embed is interesting. Iran breaks free of engineered drought while U.S. agriculture is now in the crosshairs. A provocative theory is sweeping social media and independent outlets. The United States allegedly engineered years of crippling drought in Iran using advanced radar installations scattered across Arab countries. Now, after Iran destroyed those very radar systems in recent strikes, torrential rains have returned to the region, filling dams and reviving parched lands. And I saw a report of snow in Iran as well. A lot of snow, all of a sudden. And when they're talking about filling reservoirs, it was almost overnight in a way. It was an astronomical amount of water coming out all of a sudden. The timing is impossible to ignore. Iran endured a multi-year dry spell that devastated agriculture, depleted reservoirs, and pushed the capital towards crisis levels. Then came the destruction of the key U.S. radar sites, including high-powered systems in Qatar, Jordan, and the UAE. Almost immediately, reports of heavy rain surged across Iran, Afghanistan, and even parts of Egypt. Cloud seeding efforts by Iranian authorities played a role starting late 2025, but the sudden shift after the radar takedowns has fueled speculation that those installations were more than defensive tools. Patents and declassified documents on ionospheric heating and phased array technology have long circulated among researchers questioning whether such systems could influence weather patterns on a regional scale. The theory about Iran's drought may sound far-fetched to some, but the evidence of timing, technology, and motive demand scrutiny. And the larger part of the article then turns its attention homeward to the United States. As Americans' own agricultural heartland withers, the question is no longer theoretical. Are the same tools being used against us? And who benefits when the world kneels before drought, famine, and surveillance? The answers may determine the future of food sovereignty itself, which you can get the link at the broadcaster and research more for yourself here on several considerations in the article. Really interesting what they went through. In attacking Iran here, did Trump inadvertently expose the U.S. government food wars against the American people? But maybe yet another reason why contrails are now persistent, maybe? And did Trump already expose he's a sore loser and that temper Trump Don intends to make war on everyone? Trump refuses to think purely of peace because of Nobel snub. The United States president has blasted Norway over a decision not to award him the Nobel Peace Prize. U.S. President Donald Trump has rebuked Norway for not awarding him the Nobel Peace Prize, saying the decision had freed him from any obligation to think purely of peace. Quote, purely of peace. According to a letter circulated by multiple media outlets on Monday, Trump made the jab in a message to Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre blasting Norway over a refusal, quote, to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, close quote. One jab? He destroyed a people at warp speed with jabs in the Great Kobe Swindle. Norway got off easy in this one, second jabbing, I think. In light of this, the U.S. president said he, quote, no longer feels an obligation to think purely of peace, close quote. Says the liar-in-chief because he never did act in peace. This were only words. While he, representing the United States government, is part of most of those hostilities allowed and allows, as we just heard, war upon the American people, genocide of the Palestinians, Muslims, and Christians alike, and attacks on Iran, playing loose with those U.S. law of war and the hostilities. However, he noted the peace should still remain, quote, predominant, close quote, on his agenda, but he could now focus on, quote, what is good and proper for the United States of America, close quote. And he's a sore loser of something he was not eligible for by the will of Alfred Nobel, if and he had some right to adjust his character as willy-nilly. A peace president would be peaceful whether or not any award was offered. Again, the Title I-in-Chief earns his Golden Star magnet for the presidential refrigerator. But the Board of Peace promo show began in earnest to extend the run for the Peace Prize. Remember, I read that standard, and they required that he have an organization to run through. So he developed one. Trump's invitation to Putin to join the Bordeaux Peace is very important, Congresswoman Luna says. The invitation by U.S. President Donald Trump to Russian President Vladimir Putin to join the U.S.-created Bordeaux Peace is an enormous significance, as it will be one of the most powerful peace bodies in the world, U.S. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna said in an interview with Sputnik. Really? Overseeing and continuing genocide? That's going to be big, is it? Or just normalized? And what is Putin looking at, that unfriendly country invited to the Bordeaux Peace? Right? What does that unfriendly country do? Putin, to keep tabs on response to maritime law violations by unfriendly nations. This is a bunch of kumbaya group, isn't it? All getting together. Bordeaux Peace, everyone's unfriendly, though. How is that working? Well, we're finding out it doesn't. But anyway, Russian President Vladimir Putin will be briefed on how Russia plans to respond to violations of international maritime law by unfriendly countries, the Maritime Collegium said on Wednesday. Quote, the chairman of the Maritime Collegium, Nikolai Patrushev, will brief the president of Russia on the outcomes of the meeting and the response measures developed, close quote. The presidium of the Maritime Collegium met on Wednesday to address issues related to ensuring the safety of navigation along strategic maritime routes. Particular attention was paid to concerns arising from violations of international maritime law by unfriendly states. That's a Bordeaux Peace, all right. And how does Putin respond to the invitation to join the Bordeaux Peace? Putin offers $1 billion, one bravo dollars to Trump's peace board with strings attached. The contribution would come from the Russian assets frozen in the United States. Moscow is ready to contribute to U.S. President Donald Trump's Board of Peace initiative, President Vladimir Putin told Russian Security Council on Wednesday. He suggested donating $1 billion Bravo dollars to the body out of the Russian assets frozen in the U.S. to support the recovery of the Palestinian enclave. The initiative envisions an international council to manage funding, security, can we say security enough here, and political coordination in Gaza during a transitional period following a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. A ceasefire that never has existed, nor has the tempered Trump Don enforced at all anyway, though he could if he were actually interested in peace. The body will work alongside a Palestinian technocratic administration. Trump came up with the idea after the U.S. brokered the truce last year because he probably listened behind the woodshed and heard he didn't qualify for that peace award. becoming a political, not meritful award, a fake Bordeaux peace just might. Russia could provide $1 billion for organization, quote, right now, even before we decide whether we'll take part in the work of the Bordeaux peace, the Russian president said, citing Moscow's, quote, special relations with the people of Palestine, close quote. The sum could be taken, quote, from the Russian assets frozen by the previous U.S. administration, close quote, he added. I hope you appreciate how the Russians pulled this off and how they did, reading the Maria Zakharova statement saying that the deep state is undermining Trump. They're all the same, but they come in and they tell you the deep state's not doing it, and they give kudos for Trump in that regard, right? So he feels good about himself. So watch how that little technique works. They're pretty good at it. Moscow, quote, has always supported and continues to support any efforts aimed at strengthening international stability, close quote, Putin stated. Trump selling seats on the Gaza Board of Peace for $1 billion. Oh, profit motive for peace. It doesn't come out of the pockets of the Zionist occupiers, though. Maybe not a peace prize candidate, you think? Putin thanked Trump for the invitation, but said that Moscow would need more time to study the offer and consult its strategic partners. Trump has invited dozens of nations into the board. Hungary, Morocco, Vietnam, Kazakhstan, and Argentina have already accepted the offer. Those invited to the board can reportedly join for free for 3 years. A payment of $1 billion, one Bravo dollars, a sum equivalent to the donation offered by Putin, is reportedly required for a permanent seat. Permanent. Why do you mean permanent? This Bordeaux peace never stops occupying the Semitic Palestinian people, allowing them to be free at all? On Tuesday, China also confirmed that it was invited to join, but did not say whether it would take part. According to Washington, the body's mandate could later be expanded to address other conflicts around the world. Around $5 billion, five Bravo dollars of the total of around $300 billion in the frozen Russian assets is located in the United States. On Wednesday, Putin said the remainder of the sum frozen in the United States could be sent on economic recovery of areas damaged through the fighting once Moscow and Kiev strike a peace deal. Well, I guess better to direct the use of stolen Russian funds than let the thieves spend it to attack you with your own money. And what is the result of the invitation to Trump's claptrap Bordeaux peace? Most EU countries reject U.S. invitation to join Bordeaux peace for Gaza. Trump resort and casino and Kushner water theme park from river to the sea. Okay, I added the casino and water theme park, if you're only half paying attention. As I think about paying attention, make sure to find the donation buttons and do your part for RealLibertyMedia.com. And if you can commit to a time slot, bring your content. SoundMinds can set you up. Oh, set up the crew, would you please? Consider buying them lots of coffee, and we thank you. Most EU countries have rejected the U.S. invitation to join the Board of Peace in Gaza, media reports said on Wednesday, citing people familiar with the situation. Many in Europe fear the initiative proposed by the United States is intended to sideline the UN as a forum for resolving global conflicts, the newspaper reported. Concerns of the EU countries were also caused by the fact that the invitation to join the Board of Peace had been also extended to Russian President Vladimir Putin, but the EU countries are apparently not concerned that the psychopath Satanyahu Milikowski, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, announced that he accepted the proposal of U.S. President Donald Trump and will become a member of the Board of Peace for Gaza, the Prime Minister's office said on Wednesday. Quote, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced that he has accepted the invitation of U.S. President Donald Trump and will join the Board of Peace, which will include world leaders, the office said in a statement. In mid-November, the UN Security Council approved a U.S. proposed resolution in support of U.S. President Donald Trump's comprehensive plan to settle the situation in Gaza. 13 of the Council's 15 members voted in favor, while Russia and China abstained. The U.S. plan for Gaza proposes temporary international administration of the enclave, and the creation of a peace council chaired by Trump, as well as the deployment of an international stabilization force. And if it's temporary, why are positions permanent? And on a board of Peace International and Sustainable, no less, of which two chief genocidal psychopaths are part of it. Is it making sense to anybody? Well, if you want your Nobel, I guess it does, huh? And if you think peace is an object, that quickly reuniting the Palestinians with their land peacefully matters at all, they handcuffed and blindfolded us, Palestinian returnees to Gaza said. Rotana Atiya al-Rakweb has told RT about hours-long interrogations by Israeli forces at the Rafah crossing. Palestinians returning to Gaza via the Rafah border crossing have said they face major challenges and intimidation from occupying Israeli forces seized by Israeli troops in May 2024. The Rafah entry point, the war-ravaged enclave key gateway, had been largely shut for almost 2 years. RT spoke to Ratanya al-Rakweb, and a woman who had spent a year in Egypt, about her returning ordeal. Quote, only after the Palestinian and European authorities stamped our passports did Israelis take us to their area, stressing that they were held by occupation forces for 3 consecutive hours. Quote, they handcuffed us, blindfolded us, and began asking unacceptable questions, such as why we were returning to Gaza, a question they have no right to ask, she added. Al-Rakweb highlighted that Palestinians have the right to return to their homeland, quote, freely without conditions and restrictions, close quote, urging peace organizations and other bodies to help Gaza return to normal life and ensure that the crossings are reopened. Quote, anyone who wants to come back should be able to do so, despite the attempts to repress us through measures and interrogations, she concluded. We were returning to our homeland, close quote. The crossing reportedly allows only 150 people to leave Gaza and 50 to return each day, despite 20,000 people, including 4,000 children, needing medical evacuation for care that is not available in the territory of the enclave. Yeah, Board of Peace admitting Satan Yehu Milikowski, indeed. It's disgraceful, shameful, not peaceful. And the Zionist Federation movement pretending to be a Jewish so-called state has never stopped bombing Gaza or murdering people there, despite Trump's claim of ceasefire or Board of Peace enforcement. And also from Donald, give me the Peace Prize, Board of Peace Trump. Trump says world will see one big glow from Iran if deal not reached. Nuclear glowing, folks. You've heard it at the opening of the broadcast, every broadcast now for many years. When asked by the reporter if the ceasefire remains in place, Trump responded that it was, but noted that, quote, they trifled with us today, close quote, and, quote, we blew them away, close quote. The comment referenced an unprovoked attack by Iran on 3 U.S. Navy vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. Well, but it wasn't unprovoked. But Trump's reference to one big glow is the story here. Let's hope for all our sakes it is a story, because he didn't add that it would be a huge, really huge, big, bigger than huge, the biggest glow. He hasn't said it that way, so let's hope for the best. In a Truth Social post earlier, Trump said 3 destroyers sustained little to no damage before they dealt, quote, great damage, close quote, to the Iranians. I let you know when there's no cease, he started to say before slightly backtracking. You won't have to know. Yeah, because he's playing loose with the United States laws for going to war and congressional power, and Congress is letting him. The Zionist Federation movement, compromised Congress, wants to see one big glow coming out of Iran. And Trump continued in his backtracking, quote, you won't have to know if there's a ceasefire. You're not going to have to know. You're just going to have to look at one big glow coming out of Iran, and they better sign that agreement fast, close quote. The president did not specify what he meant exactly by, quote, one big glow, close quote, but the remark alludes to using a nuclear weapon for bombing Iran's oil infrastructure. He has ruled out deploying nuclear weapons in the past. Quote, if a ceasefire deal doesn't get signed, they're going to have a lot of pain, Trump said, adding, this Iranian counterparts want to sign the deal a lot more than he does. The temporary U.S.-Iran ceasefire has been extended indefinitely to allow enough room for peace talks, but military skirmishes are taking place, and as evidenced on Thursday, the war has led to a record surge in gas prices, which Trump claimed are decreasing despite reports to the contrary. But just a skirmish. Broken ceasefire that isn't broken indefinitely now, Trump also says, because Satan Yehu intends the glow to come out of Iran. On the other hand, maybe they will get their wish and the glow coming from Iran will be the innumerable missiles pulverizing Israel into oblivion, American ships sunk hypersonically without nukes. Because ultimately, Trump's playing with all the cards and Iran has no card, Trump admits. But with Iran, Trump is playing Uno, not poker. It sounds like Trump is a loser two cards ago. Uno! And where Trump is playing poker, his table buddy has no cards either, as you've heard a number of times behind the woodshed. Zelensky has no cards from day one, says Trump. Yes, and the United States lost the battle in the opening salvo of their economic war against Russia for someone with no cards, as I explained then behind the woodshed. And Trump, or should I say Ukrainians, are forced to play to the last Ukrainian, while Americans are forced to pay with their way of life. The United States president has said the Ukraine conflict, quote, would have been a total disaster, close quote, for Kiev and its EU backers without his mediation. Now, how can it not be anything but a disaster, however the U.S. plays a hand it never had? Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky, quote, has no cards to negotiate peace with Russia, United States President Donald Trump has said. So let's see. The U.S. caused a successful coup in 2014, allowing Zelensky to eventually run that overthrown democracy. So if Pinocchio Zelensky has no cards, well, neither does Trump, right? Where have I heard that before? Maybe someone I know? Possibly? Trump made the remarks in a New York Times interview discussing U.S. mediation efforts. These include a leaked 28-point peace plan, envisioning Kiev ceding the remainder of Donbass to Russia, renouncing its NATO ambitions, and capping its military. The plan, criticized by Kiev and its Western backers as favoring Moscow, was later cut to 20 points, but key issues remain unresolved, with Zelensky reluctant to concede territory. But the deal is so close, folks. Quote, you famously sat in this room and told Zelensky you don't have the cards, close quote, Trump's interviewer said, referring to his infamous White House spat with Ukrainian leader last year. Quote, he didn't have them then. Does he have them now, close quote? Well, he doesn't have the cards, close quote, Trump replied. Quote, he didn't have them from day one. He's only got one thing, Donald Trump, close quote. Trump insisted his mediation is crucial for the peace process and claimed that it had helped prevent a far wider crisis. That's right, crucial, like the Bordeaux peace overseeing the continuing genocide of Semitic Palestinians. Quote, that thing would have been a total disaster, and Zelensky knows it, and the European leaders know it, if I wasn't involved. I think that could have evolved into a third world war. That won't happen anymore, close quote, he said. Pressed on timelines for a potential peace deal, Trump was non-committal. Quote, we're doing the best we can. I don't have a timeline. I just like to see the war end, close quote, he stated, adding that both Russian President Vladimir Putin and Zelensky appear willing to settle, quote, but we'll find out, close quote. Actually, no. Last month, Trump met Zelensky in Miami and said a peace deal was 95% ready, quote, 95% ready. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov later echoed the assessment. But remember, In the United States, by definition, organic can contain 5% poison. So where does that leave a 95% ready-to-go deal poisoned by 5%? However, Kiev and its backers from the so-called Coalition of the Willing, a group of Western European states pushing continued support for Ukraine, have since agreed to deploy troops to the country as a post-deal security guarantee, despite Russia's repeated rejection of foreign forces near its border. And the latest I've heard is Russia may have struck Ukraine's drone manufacturing plant in Germany for using those drones to attack Russia. And what country did Trump say would be glowing again? U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff did not confirm any American role, and Trump has previously ruled out U.S. troops in Ukraine. Moscow condemned the plan, with Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova warning last week that any Western troop deployment in Ukraine would be treated as a foreign intervention. And always playing the bad hand and calling it a wiener, this is how the blowback from Trump's gambling with a glowing Iran, the perfecting of the war against we the people for a more perfectus union battlefield of internet things. Data centers are now official military targets, or Netflix recommendations and work-from-home video calls suddenly share server space with military intelligence operations. This precedent transformed everyday cloud services into potential casualty zones. Our morning routine, checking Instagram, streaming music, ordering coffee, just became a military target in the Middle East. Iranian state media has labeled dozens of facilities, including Microsoft, Google, and Amazon sites, as, quote, enemy technology infrastructure, close quote, threatening coordinated strikes across the Gulf data centers. Those servers processing your cloud storage and work emails, they're now legitimate targets in a shooting war. When your cloud becomes a battlefield, Iranians' threats against Amazon facilities mark the first time civilian tech infrastructure has been explicitly targeted in modern warfare. The targeting wasn't random cyber vandalism. Iran's IRCG has vowed to target U.S.-linked tech infrastructure across Gulf states like Dubai, potentially via drones or missiles. They're framing data centers as legitimate military assets in an expanding, quote, infrastructure and technology battlefield, close quote. Your Netflix recommendations and work-from-home video calls suddenly share server space with military intelligence operation. This precedent transformed everyday cloud services into potential casualty zones. The military-civilian data divide that doesn't exist. Think about that, folks. There's no distinction between military and civilian in this occupied world. This occupied country that no one seems to see and no one seems to notice. Cloud providers operate classified Pentagon facilities alongside your personal data, creating legal gray areas for targeting. Major cloud providers already run DoD-exclusive regions processing classified military data. Microsoft operates U.S. DoD Central in Iowa and U.S. DoD East in Northern Virginia. Amazon maintains similar sites supporting Pentagon's joint warfighting cloud capability. These facilities handle everything from drone operations to intelligence analysis completely separate from civilian traffic. Quote, a data center that is solely or primarily for military applications is targetable, close quote, according to Leonis Kapolzous, Harvard Law visiting professor. The problem? Distinguishing military from civilian cloud loads is nearly impossible due to what experts call, quote, cloud opacity, close quote. Maybe they should go look at them persistent contrails a little bit here. Your cat videos and Pentagon missile targeting algorithms might live in neighboring server racks. In modern warfare, the proximity makes both legitimate targets. Welcome to the age where your digital life shares real estate with military operations, and the targeting doesn't discriminate between your shopping cart and the classified defense data. But your life is already shared with the military. It's your occupying force in this post-founding father Lincolnized terrorism era. If you look, they don't protect the law when breaking it. Inside Europol's shadow IT system. Under pressure to deliver in the fight, a now war battlefield, right? In the fight against serious cross-border crime, Europol built and operated a shadow data analysis platform containing large volumes of sensitive information, which operated without key legal and technical safeguards. Europol, the European Union's EU police agency, operated a shadow data repository containing vast amounts of sensitive personal information and used it for years beyond its lawful scope, according to internal documents and whistleblower accounts. Described by former officials as, quote, shadow IT environment, close quote, the system lacked basic security or data protection safeguards required under EU law. Again, folks, what law? And if there's there's a law, no accountability, what law? It was used to store and analyze highly sensitive data, phone records, identity documents, and geolocation information, including details of people who were not suspected of crime. This investigation by Solomon Corrective and Computer Weekly, based on leaked emails, internal reports, and testimonies from former officials, found that in practice, the system became the agency's primary environment for large-scale data analysis, despite lacking essential controls over who could access or modify the data. For the first time in the agency's history, several former high-ranking officials have come forward to reveal that the use of this shadow environment to store vast amounts of data and the use of the clandestine intelligence tool known internally as pressure cooker had been concealed from the EU's top privacy watchdog until 2019. Quote, they protect the law while breaking it, close quote, one former senior official said of Europol. The findings come at a pivotal moment. The European Commission is expected to propose a new legislation which would expand Europol's mandate and double its annual budget. At the same time, Europol's executive director, Catherine de Bolle, stepped down on 1st of May after leading the agency for 8 years. Conservative MP David Davis, an outspoken critic of creeping data collection by government, said that the findings, quote, if true, point to serious failures of oversight, legality, and data protection, close quote. He added, quote, systems appear to have operated significantly beyond what is lawful and process vast quantities of sensitive information, including information about innocent individuals, without proper scrutiny, close quote. Responding to this investigation, a Europol spokesman said the agency had reported its operational data processing systems and applications to the EU's privacy watchdog in a transparent manner. Quote, the allegation that Europol kept hidden information about systems or processing environments is a misrepresentation of the facts, close quote. Do we care? The appearance of impropriety, folks, is all we need. And another take on that expose from the Department of Trust Us, we're from the government. The EDPS order was a follow-up from an EDPS inquiry into, quote, the use of big data analytics by Europol for purposes of strategic and operational analysis. In September 2020, the EDPS had already issued an admonishment to Europol in which it considered that the massive data set in question posed, quote, high risks for data subjects, close quote, and have, quote, potentially severe impact on their fundamental rights and freedoms, close quote, but in which he still left it to Europol itself to, quote, to devise mitigation measures, close quote. However, the EDPS found the solutions proposed by Europol unacceptable. It therefore ordered Europol to carry out, quote, data subject categorization, close quote, parenthetically, sorting personal data according to categories that Europol is allowed to process and excluding any data it is not allowed to process, of all new data within 6 months and of all old data within 12 months. As the press release on the order explains, compliance with the order would mean that, quote, Europol will no longer be permitted to retain data about people who have not been linked to a crime or a criminal activity for long periods with no set deadline. Quote, mining bulk data sets to, quote, identify criminals. The wrestling match between EDPS and Europol highlights the trend towards predictive policing, the increasing approach by national law enforcement and national security agencies towards trying to identify individuals who may be involved in crime, especially serious crime or terrorism, both rather variably defined. For example, the EU Schengen Information System allows entering data on so-called, quote, persons of interest, close quote, for which EU member states' authorities are invited to carry out, quote, discrete checks, inquiry checks, or specific checks, close quote. However, those persons cannot yet formally be declared a suspect under criminal procedure law, since there is no real evidence that they have committed or will commit a relevant crime. For the purpose of identifying potential criminals, part of the EU strategy is to allow for the collection, quote, in a generalized manner, of vast stores of personal data on innocent people, notably by facilitating bulk access by law enforcement and national intelligence agencies to large-scale databases and data sets held by private sector. The data sets may include data and electronic communications, financial data, and data on people traveling to and in the EU, in particular air passengers. The second element of predictive policing is the analysis of bulk data by means of predetermined criteria, country of origin and gender, etc., i.e. by AI-based self-learning algorithms to single out suspicious persons. Europol has become increasingly involved in such algorithmic data analysis and in the research underpinning those technologies. However, this kind of processing suffers from inescapable flaws that pose great risk to the rights and freedoms of individuals, false positives, discriminatory outcomes, opaque processes that are impossible to challenge, and a crucial lack of scientific testing or auditing. In other words, it is about mass surveillance of entire populations without any differentiation, limitation, or exception made in the light of the objective to fighting against serious crime, without regard for the inherent serious dangers of deficiencies in the data mining technologies and in clear breach of EU law. It is a scandal on par with the indiscriminate surveillance by the U.S. agencies exposed nearly a decade ago by Edward Snowden. A reform to legalize what is unlawful, the indiscriminate bulk data collection and algorithmic analysis of the uncategorized data by Europol violates EU data protection law, the EU Charter of Fundamental Rights, and treaties. However, these activities not only continue in spite of the EDPS strong criticism, the EU institutions try to legalize them under the revised Europol regulation. It is clear that Europol has been deliberately procrastinating in its lengthy exchanges with the EDPS stretching over 2 years. Europol's demand that the EDPS defer its order even further until after the new mandate is in place is simply an attempt to save the dangerous technologies it wedded to. For the maintenance of the rule of law and for the protection of fundamental rights and freedoms of European citizens, it is essential that the mass surveillance activities of national law enforcement agencies and of Europol are brought under control. The judgment of the Court of Justice in the passenger name record case will hopefully send a clear signal that mass surveillance by means of data mining and profiling of bulk data sets is incompatible with the Charter and the treaties. Although the Snowden revelations caused widespread furious denunciations of the U.S. by European leaders, the Europol data mining scandal shows the Americans had some justification when they accused the Europeans of hypocrisy and double standards. But that's going to be the norm, isn't it? This has been BTW RLM 667, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call the owl. Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free, pull up a chair, leaning close, lessons to learn, go
shadows behind the woodshed. No stone unturned, house birds ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line, in house court, no place to hide. A cantaloupe bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.